So, we started Proverbs. Everybody like it? It's kind of like, yeah, so far. We're really, this was the introduction. Chapters 1 through 9 are kind of the intro to Proverbs, and we're hitting it heavy this coming week with lots of the real deep Proverbs. So this morning, I'm going to spend a little bit of my time talking about Proverbs itself. And then we're going to be talking most of the time on wisdom and knowledge. And they're different, right? For those of you who really have a yearning to figure out who wrote it and when was it written and what's it all about, and I want to see the outline and stuff, there's a great website. It's called, because you're not going to get it this morning, but there's a wonderful website called BibleProject.org. And they have this really talented person who draws out an entire summary and background of most of the books of the Bible. I decided not to do it today for Proverbs, but this is what you wind up with at the end, and you can print this out for yourself. And it's this line drawing with kind of cartoon characters and lots of writing, and it's really jam-packed with all kinds of information. And those of you who are like really got to know all this stuff, you're going to be so happy with this. And it's a great way to sort of get to an overview of the book. So it's BibleProject.com. And then you wind up with a little thing, and they draw it one line at a time, and there's a guy who draws like really fast. And it's really cool. So I would recommend, for those of you who want to know a little bit more about the background, to try that. So, first, I wandered lonely as a cloud that floats on high o'er vales and hills, when all at once I saw a crowd, a host of golden daffodils. That's poetry. And I love it. In fact, that's one of the most well-known few lines of poetry in the English language, believe it or not. And you might have been enjoying it until I told you that it was poetry, right? Because I think there's something, all of us have been exposed to poetry, but maybe because it was like in junior high, and nothing that happens in junior high is good, including your exposure to poetry. And so we're just confused by it, and we think it's too complicated, and we think it's, you know, just uncertain or something, so we just tend not to like it. But I was reading this review, and I mean, honestly, except for the big outline that says there's no need to fear poetry, I probably wouldn't have read it. But I thought, oh, that's kind of good to know. So this poet reviewed a book he'd written, and he's making a case for how necessary poetry is in our lives now. And he said that poetry is this ancient art, which is what we're reading in Proverbs, and it wasn't written for scholars or experts or people with advanced degrees. It was written for other regular human beings. And he said today there's not a single poet who writes for professors or scholars or highly educated people. That really, poets write for regular people just like us. That's the audience they want to connect to. And that's exactly what Solomon did with Proverbs. He was writing for everyone. Not the elite, not the people who had a lot of education, but he was writing for everyone. And he wanted to get across some really complicated concepts in a really simple, easy to understand way. And that's what the book of Proverbs is. It's in the wisdom category of books in the Old Testament, but it's really mostly poetry. And you've got in your black folder, you have a really good article by Professor Nora Cottle, who goes here. She's been really helpful to us teachers. And she talks about Hebrew poetry, and it's not like Shakespeare poetry, you know, that has rhymes and the ends of the lines have to rhyme, and it's iambic pentameter, which is like enough to make you kind of shiver. And for those of you who don't like poetry, that's probably what you're thinking about. But Hebrew poetry is different. And it's different in a couple of ways. And first of all, it's usually, they're really short. They're usually a couple lines, maybe four lines. And this week we read a few that were longer. But you can read a short section and not get all caught up in some long, complicated story. It's easier to understand. But every little couplet is really deep. And what I mean is, it doesn't just say, for example, the whole book of Proverbs isn't just sayings like, nobody likes a lazy bum. Well, that's true. Nobody likes a lazy bum. But it's more than that. So what Proverbs says in 10:26 is, as vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. And if you think about that, you've all had like some salad dressing that's like really got too much vinegar, and your teeth just get set on edge, and you just feel like, ooh, that just, it's very unpleasant. And you've probably all had smoke in your eyes, candles or campfires or, you know, this maybe hasn't happened to you, but sometimes you forget the vent on the fireplace, you know, I'll fess up. So if you get smoke in your eyes, it hurts, it stings, you're squinting, it's just awful. That's the feeling he's trying to get. It's not that you just don't like a lazy bum. There's just something visceral about it. There's something really, your whole body reacts. So that's one way the Hebrew poetry is. The second way is all about parallelism, things that match up. So in other words, it compares and contrasts things together. So the first line or the first section contrasts or compares to something in the second section. So here's an example. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. That's in Proverbs 15:28. They're connected. You can see, you can take quite a bit of time with those two lines and think about the heart of the righteous. So that's inner, something deep within you, and it studies. It doesn't just respond angrily. That's compared to the mouth of the wicked that just pours forth this evil. And it does it quickly, and it just does it without thinking, but your heart studies. It's contrasting those two things. There's a really important concept there that's laid out in the fewest words possible. So sometimes thinking about the content, the concept, takes more time than just reading the proverb. But there's a lot to it if you think about it. So this poet I mentioned in the beginning, who wrote the review, said that a poem is something, it's like a concept or an idea that's elusive or complex, that's being communicated in the simplest way you can get it across. And obviously some of them are harder to understand. But as you read in the next couple of weeks, think about that, how they're put together, and sort of see how many parallel examples of that parallelism you can spot, and it might make it more interesting for you to sort of think about it in that way for a minute. But then basically, I think what's important about Proverbs is to, and what really struck me when I was preparing to teach this week, is the difference between wisdom and knowledge. And we spent quite a bit of time looking at wisdom this week and talking about knowledge and reading some things about it. And we're going to be spending lots more time in the next couple of weeks doing that. And I got to thinking and I thought, you know, I think most of us are really fascinated with advice books, you know, how-to guides. So there must be thousands of them. You know, I was thinking and I thought, well, I'll just Google them. How many how-to books are there, for Pete's sakes? And of course, the first one that pops up is How to Win Friends and Influence People. You know, that's kind of cool. But it's been around a really long time. But then there are how-to books on so many subjects. Cooking, and cleaning, and marriage, and how to raise your kids, and how to train your pet, and how to drive, and how to buy insurance. And for Pete's sakes, there's even, you know, how to avoid the zombie apocalypse, for Pete's sakes. You know, there's a how-to book for everything. And I bet, if we're honest, that there's not a single person here who hasn't, at one time or another, picked up a how-to book needing to know how to do something, fix your plumbing or something. But then there are some really off-the-wall books, too. There was one I found, How to Disappear Completely and Never Be Found. That was kind of strange. I'm not recommending these, by the way. And then there was one, How to Teach Physics to Your Dog. Like, really, seriously, the dog needs that? And then there was one that kept popping up. Every list I looked at, this was really a surprise to me, most of the lists I looked at had this book on it. And I was just, like, stunned. And the book is How to Avoid Huge Ships. Yeah, you heard. How to Avoid Huge Ships. Like, is that a big problem for you? It's not for me. But apparently, lots of people think it's a big problem because it's on many of the lists of, you know, the top 10 or the top 50 how-to books. And then there was my personal favorite. It's called How to Sharpen Pencils by a guy named David Reese. And he calls himself, you have to think about this a minute, the number one, number two pencil sharpener. So I, you know, he's making money off this book called How to Sharpen Pencils. But I think, the more I thought about it, there's something about us, and I'm not sure, it could be something different. There's a little insecurity in all of us. There's a real need to be perfect. You know, what I'm doing isn't good enough the way I'm doing it. I need to do it better. There's a need to please. We need to please other people, and maybe if we do something more or better, we'll please them. There's a fear of failure. I don't want to do it wrong. I don't want to look like an idiot. And I think there's something in us, whatever it is, that just yearns for rules that are going to make our life easier. And Proverbs is right there. It's been looked at for thousands of years as this kind of divine how-to book. Follow these rules and your life is going to be better. Isn't that what it says? And there is truth in that. This is a book of great practicality and wisdom. The people in Proverbs are really a lot like us. They were mothers and children and friends and colleagues. Some of them are women of real wisdom. And some are fools. And some of them are passionate and active. And some of them are just lazy. And some are tempted by sin. And some do the tempting. Maybe most important of all, some of the people in Proverbs embrace God's word and his way. You know what they call them? Wise. And there are others make fun of or avoid the path that God sets before us. And they're the ones who are called fools. So I think that you can focus on the practical in Proverbs, and it's good for any of us. Anyone, whether they're believers or not, they're good rules. They're good ways to sort of try and live your life. But if you just to practice, to sort of focus on those practical, the practical advice, I think you miss this much richer lesson that God has for us in this book. They are terrific guidelines for trying to live your life, but they're difficult to follow. I don't know anybody who can do everything the way it says to do it in Proverbs. If you're reading Proverbs just for the advice that it dishes out, you're going to wind up very knowledgeable but frustrated. The real value of Proverbs is the opportunity that it gives us to think about wisdom, not just knowledge. And knowledge and wisdom are two different things. So think of it this way. I'm a sucker. Okay, I went out and, you know, if I bought that book, Teaching My Dog Physics, okay, for whatever reason, and I followed all the steps, I guess I'd have a pretty smart dog. And, you know, this pretty smart dog would understand matter and energy and whatever else physics is involved in. And maybe I could get on one of those TV talk show circuits, you know, and I'd get really well known. But at the end of the day, I just don't have a dog that might just be smarter than me. And then what? How does it improve my life? And I don't think it does. So then I get, you know, a little frustrated and I think, well, I need another book. So seriously, I'd have to go out and buy that How to Avoid Huge Ships book. I mean, I just can't not get that book. And knowing my lifestyle, it'd probably work. I mean, how many huge ships have you hit lately, right? So with the facts I learned from that book, I could avoid all the huge ships in my life. And I would have made myself pretty smart. Maybe I'd even be just a little bit smarter than you. But so what? I'm smarter. I have more knowledge. That alone doesn't get me very far in the things of life that matter. Am I less stressed? No. Well, maybe if I don't have to worry about big ships anymore, I would be. But I'm not more joyful, right? Am I kinder? or more gentle with the people in my life? Am I more loving? Is my patience longer or my self-control any stronger? It's not. I just have a lot of facts I've learned. And I may have a lot more than other people have. But that's all I've got. That's where I leave it. So I think the beauty of Proverbs is that it can lead us to wisdom, not just knowledge, but wisdom. Not just facts, but judgment, discernment, the ability to use those facts in a really smart way that pleases God and draws us nearer to Him. That's what wisdom is. And I know this is true because the Bible tells me it is. So Proverbs 1:7 says, "Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." It's kind of harsh. Wisdom is a gift from God. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." So even though we're in the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs, this is a perfect example to think about that Christ connection that we have. And the knowledge that we find in this book points us to God, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's what it tells us. And we know, because of other things that we read, that the perfection of wisdom is Christ. And 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God." There's this entire connection. So all the way through the book of Proverbs, when we're talking about wisdom, we're not talking about getting smarter. We're talking about getting closer to God. That's the key. That's what's important in life. So there's another resource that I use that I think is great, and some of you probably use it too. It's called gotquestions.com. And there's this good article there about the difference between wisdom and knowledge. And it says, "Knowledge learns about God. Wisdom loves Him." Think about that for a minute. Knowledge learns about God, which is good, but wisdom loves Him. That's the goal, is loving Him, not just learning a lot about Him. So the wisdom that we can learn from Proverbs isn't about getting smart. It's about drawing closer to God and deepening our relationship to Him. So as you read these great nuggets of knowledge, they're all about life and how to live it, remember that God is really offering you the chance to get wisdom, not just get smarter and not just have a more regulated life, but to actually have wisdom. In the second chapter of Proverbs, in my summary, says that if you incline your ear to wisdom and you apply your heart to understanding and you cry out for discernment, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and you will find the wisdom of God. And that's active. This is not sitting back and going, okay, I've read this, what happens now? It's inclining your ear, it's thinking about it, it's listening, waiting for wisdom. It's applying your heart to understanding. Applying your heart isn't just sitting there waiting for something to happen to you. It's thinking about how can I be more understanding. And then you're going to understand. And crying out for discernment. That's not a passive action of just waiting for something to happen. That's really yearning and crying and praying and asking for that discernment. And then with that, you will start to understand the fear of the Lord. And you will find the wisdom of God. It's great advice. It's not a promise, but it's great advice. So as I was reading Proverbs, I thought, you know, you can't stay theoretical for very long when you read Proverbs. You can sort of read through and go, that's great for everybody else, but I'm not going to have to do that. Now that I know all this stuff, I don't have to do it. It isn't a book about abstract principles or facts. It's about applying it. It's all application. And I think it's really impossible to read through Proverbs and not see how practical it is. It's amazing. Chapter 12 says, "Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid." Oh. Ouch on that one, huh? I just don't like somebody to correct me. It just hurts. Whoever It's a little scary when I start running through batteries, right? Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. You know, maybe not so much all the time, but it's a goal, right? Chapter 12 also says, "Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes glad." Yikes, you know, that sounds really 21st century. You know, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. That's true. Chapter 14 says, "In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty." In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. Chapter 20, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise." Yikes. Chapter 21, "Better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman." So that one really, you know, I don't have to worry about that, you know, brawling after drinking too much, but the contentious woman part is kind of, it hits home. If we're honest, there's probably one or more of those that apply to all of us. I mean, think about what they deal with: anxiety, anger, depression, laziness, excess in things. It's not just alcohol excess, it's too much of almost anything. So if we think about it, wisdom, in a sense, is it the ability to apply the knowledge that we have. So to sort of illustrate the difference between those two, knowledge can tell you how financial systems work. Okay, that's kind of cool. But wisdom helps you budget properly. You can know all the financial systems in the world, but if you can't budget properly, it won't do you any good. Knowledge understands that if you're driving and the light turns red, the light's red. It's changed. It's wisdom that tells you got to put the brakes on. That's the difference. Knowledge helps you, the light turned from green to red. Look at that. I know that. That's a fact. It's wisdom that tells you need to make a stop. And then, you know, knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit, you know, and wisdom is knowing you don't put it in a fruit salad. There's just, it's from the really lofty down to the really practical. Proverbs helps us look at life realistically. Ignorance isn't bliss. It's not. It's not wise not to know. If we act like there's no sin, it's easier to fall into temptation. All throughout the book of Proverbs, it tells us, keep your eyes open, discern, be wise, look at the path, take the light path and not the dark path. All throughout. Proverbs has us look right into the face of that loose woman, or the brawler, or the cheater, or the anxious, or the angry, and a lot of times we see ourselves looking right back like a mirror. But it also gives us instruction on how to walk a closer path with God. That's where you don't want to stay at this looking in the mirror thinking, oh my gosh, this is me. It shows us how to walk this closer path with God. And it also teaches us that doing what is good is the right thing to do. You know, they're not promises again, but they're good advice. Chapter 11, "Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight." Think about who that's geared towards: the butcher, people who weigh out their food, the vegetable dealer, these are real people, and it's an advice for daily living. But it doesn't just mean that if you have just weights that you please God. It's how you live your life. Are you cheating, or are you trying to stick on the right path? Chapter 15 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. All throughout Proverbs, there are examples of ways that we can react to things that happen and ways that we need to keep our eyes open and make sure that we stay on the right path. But knowing the right thing to do and doing it are not the same thing. After all, think about who wrote most of Proverbs, Solomon. What happened at the end of his life? He went way away from what he knew. He wrote all these gems of advice that are so sound, and he strayed so far from what he knew, and that was his downfall. He knew all of this stuff, but he didn't do it. He wrote so much good advice in Proverbs about raising a son, but his son wasn't wise and wasn't good. Think about that. So, for us, knowing facts isn't enough. Knowledge isn't going to do it for us. Knowing more isn't going to do it. We need to seek wisdom, and we need to seek wisdom along with a closer walk with God. That's what Proverbs calls the fear of the Lord, is just our desire to walk closer to Him. And then we need to follow through on what we've learned and what God has given us, and do it. So the wisdom that Proverbs encourages us to seek first is a relationship with God. And He alone can give us the strength that we need to do what we know we should do. Haven't you tried to do something that you know you should do, but you just couldn't? And maybe it's really something mundane, like, you know, I really shouldn't have that second cookie, but man, it was so good. Or maybe it's something really important, like I really should get up and go to church this morning, but I'm really tired and, you know, I'll skip it this week. Or something along those lines. Wisdom isn't just knowing the truth. And the truth is that God's the master of the universe, that He's our Father, that He's the Lord of the world. That's the truth. But it's putting understanding into action by turning our lives over to Him. Knowing He is supreme isn't the same as making a decision to turn our lives over to Him. What Proverbs tells us is that we'll only know real wisdom when we come to know Christ. That's real wisdom. It's not being so much book smarter than somebody else or knowing how to do so many things other than somebody else. It's knowing Christ, because it's only in Christ that we find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We find out how to apply it, and He is able to guide us and lead us. There's no grace or peace in just being smarter and knowing more. We only get peace and forgiveness and strength and grace and all of those good things through Christ. So as you read through Proverbs, keep in mind that they're great practical advice. They really are. They're really good. It's great advice. But the real path to wisdom, what you really should be searching for through all these great Proverbs, is how to turn your heart over to God. And if you haven't done that yet, what are you waiting for? Today's a good day, right? Let God give you the wisdom and the peace and the joy that only He can give.